Chapter 26. The emergency task force meeting started late, given the overrun of the Aeola interview. The majority of the detectives, however, had arrived as scheduled, meaning that by the time Bobby, Dee Dee, and Cinkus appeared, the pizza boxes were empty, the soda consumed, and not even a breadstick remained. Bobby eyed the lone survivor, a plastic cup of red pepper flakes. He thought better of it. All right, Dee Dee was saying briskly. Gather round, listen up. For a change, we have developments to discuss, so let's get cracking. Detective Rock yawned, then tried to cover the motion by fanning his piles of paper.
Heard we got a note, he said. Real deal or wannabe wacko?
Uncertain. We announced Annabelle Granger's name in the beginning, but never released details on the locket or the other personal items. So our anonymous author either has inside information or is the real deal. That perked them up. Dee Dee's next announcement, however, elicited collective groans. I have copies of the note to distribute, but not yet. First things first, our nightly debrief. Let's figure out what we know now. Then we'll consider how this little community outreach, Dee Dee waved the stack of photocopies, fits into the puzzle. Cinkus, you go first. Cinkus didn't mind. As the go-to guy for Christopher Aeola, he was humming with excitement. He recapped the interview with Aeola's parents, what they now knew of Aeola's sexual activities, and how his former nanny matched a general description of Annabelle Granger, one of the known targeted victims. Even more interesting, Aeola had access to vast financial resources. Between his Swiss bank account and multi-million-dollar trust fund, it was highly probable that he could maintain a lifestyle on the run, below the radar, etc., etc. In fact, just about anything was possible, so they'd have to open up their way of thinking. Next steps, put in a call to the State Department to track Aeola's passport, outreach to Interpol in case they either had Aeola in their sights or a case involving an unsub of similar MO, and finally, determine due process for tracing funds transferred out of a Swiss bank account, or better yet, freeze the assets altogether. Declare Aeola a terrorist, McGeoghegan stated. At his comment, a few guys laughed. I'm not kidding, the sergeant insisted. Homicide means nothing to the Swiss government, or anyone else for that matter. On the other hand, write up a report that you have reason to believe Aeola buried radioactive material in the middle of a major metro area, and you'll have his assets frozen lickety-split. Aren't bodies radioactive? Who in this room remembers anything from science class? They looked at one another blankly. Apparently none of them watched the Discovery Channel.
Well, McGeoghegan said stubbornly, I think it's true. And I'm telling you, it will work.
Cinkus shrugged, made a note. It wouldn't be the first time they'd finessed a square peg into a round hole. That's why laws were written, so enterprising homicide detectives could figure out a way around them. Cinkus was also in charge of tracking down Adam Schmidt, the AN from Boston State Mental who'd been fired for sleeping with a patient. He covered Schmidt next.
I finally located Jill Cochran, former head nurse, Cinkus reported. I'm told she has most of the records, etc., from the closed institute. She's cataloging them, archiving them, I don't know, doing whatever it is you do to insane asylum paperwork. I'm meeting with her in the morning to follow up on Mr. Schmidt.
Basic background check on Schmidt? Dee Dee inquired.
Nothing came up. So either Adam's been a very good boy since his Boston State Mental days, or he's been much smarter about not getting caught. My spidey sense is not tingly, however. I like Aeola better.
Dee Dee merely gave him a look. Cinkus threw up his hands in defense.
I know, a good investigator leaves no stone unturned. I'm turning.
Cinkus apparently was a little punchy from lack of sleep. He sat down. Detective Tony Rock took over the hot seat, reporting on the latest activity on the Crime Stoppers hotline.
What can I tell you? The gravelly-voiced detective rumbled, looking exhausted. Sounding exhausted, and no doubt feeling as good as he looked and sounded.
We're averaging 35 calls an hour, most of which fall into three basic categories. A little bit crazy, a lot crazy, and too sad for words.